Welcome to the Neurodiverse Toolbox with Sheila Kieschlin and Paige Kieschlin.
Good morning, Paige.
Good morning, Mom.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Is it cold there?
It's snowing currently.
It's supposed to be 58 here today.
But it's supposed to be yucky there later this weekend. It's supposed to be in like the 50s or 60s later. So all of the snow will go away. But
we
currently yucky.
Alexis and I check the weather pretty regularly.
Oh, in Montana?
Mm-hmm. We go, what's Paige doing in weather right now? Oh, what do we have right now?
Interesting.
It is supposed to be yucky tomorrow and Friday here, but then it gets warm again. But then 60 by Monday.
You also check North Carolina.
Sometimes. But we always check to see what Paige has. And then she goes, oh, poor Paige, stay warm. Stay warm, Paige, stay warm. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
All right, so what are we talking about today?
Food dopamine connection.
Okay, teach me.
Okay, teaching. So studies have shown an association between ADHD and certain eating disorders, which we've talked about eating disorders on here before.
Mm-hmm.
The three main ones, the most common one for ADHD that I saw was binge eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Because binge eating is a
impulsive
type of
activity.
Eating disorder. Even though people, I don't think, really think that or believe that, it is one.
Well, I think part of it is that, like, to be diagnosed with binge eating, you have to be doing it in secret.
Yeah.
The binging part. Not just like...
Well, right. Just like...
I overate or...
Bulimia and anorexia are in secret. You're not going to tell someone, like, yeah, I'm secretly starving myself. I won't tell anyone.
Shh.
No. Secret. No one does that. And you shouldn't do that. Don't do that. That's not healthy. Yeah, with binge eating disorder being one of the most common. Binge eating disorder, for those of you who don't know, is when you eat a large amount of food over a short period of time. So like if I work all day long, like I used to do this. So I would work all day long, 10, 11 hours, 13 hours. I would come home. I would go downstairs. I'd be in the room you're in right now. And
which
I would just
bedroom.
Eat. It wasn't healthy food either. It wasn't like apples and berries. I was eating like cake.
Right.
And cupcakes and Swedish fish. Probably not actually Swedish fish, but you get the point. Like unhealthy, like junk food. And then I would feel guilty afterwards, but I would hide the food for whatever reason. I don't really know why I hid the food, but I would hide the food. And I wouldn't tell anyone that that's what I was doing. And then you'd be like, Paige, did you eat dinner? And I was like, oh, yeah, I ate. And she's like, oh, all right. Sure, I believe you.
I didn't believe you. I just didn't want to fight with you. I mean, my guess is that, or what I hear from most of my clients is that they hide it because they're ashamed of either the amount of food that they ate or that they, what they were eating, like the type of food they were eating, or they were ashamed that they couldn't manage their day so that they could eat at regular intervals like most people, right?
Yeah.
They didn't.
Yeah.
Right. Because usually they didn't eat all day because they were constantly behind or felt overwhelmed or were so sucked into, so hyper-focused on what they were doing, they forgot
to eat.
Or they didn't, or they're so unaware of their own body. Then they didn't feel the hunger pains, right? And so they were just like ashamed of all those things.
Yeah. So then they overeat. They likely overeat if they're feeling sad or angry, and they may not find it easy to know when they're full. So it's possible to like overeat because you're just Caribbean.
You're eating so quickly, your body can't keep up with what's being put in.
Some experts believe that people with ADHD may overeat to satisfy their need for stimulation. So I don't know if overeating produces like dopamine or something. I mean, it is pleasure. I mean, being overstuffed isn't pleasurable, but like eating good food is pleasurable.
Qualify the word good. What do you mean? Like food that tastes good or food that's nutritious?
Food that tastes good specifically, but I could see how, like, I just ate an apple with peanut butter, and that was very pleasing. I like apples, and it was very refreshing. So that could also be pleasing. But in this case, I'm saying pleasing food or good food being like tastes good. So like cupcakes and cake.
Candy and ice cream.
Candy and ice cream.
All the sugar.
All the sugar.
Okay. What else?
Some evidence suggests that binge eating in for people with ADHD may attribute to a heightened neutral reward response to food rather than impulsivity. But I guess, would binge eating count as an impulsivity? Because you're impulsively just eating.
I mean, I think there's definitely
Or are they two different things? What do we think?
What do you think? How do you experience it?
I mean, I feel like sometimes it's an impulse. Like, I don't want to always do it. But then I just see the cake and I'm like, I want the cake. I can eat the cake if I want to, so I'm going to eat the cake. Even though I do want to eat the cake, but I know I shouldn't eat the cake. And I try to stop myself from eating the cake. Does that make sense?
It does. No. That's what
cake
I
is yummy.
Clients.
Yeah.
Usually I box a cookie in most examples, cookies in most of the examples I get from my clients, but right, they go in to just
are also
have
good.
Like one, and then all of a sudden the
it's all of
box
them because it just like it tasted so good.
And
it
they
just
don't,
hit it hit the
sometimes
spot.
They don't even remember like eating them all.
Oh,
so
oh,
they're just like
sad.
Surprised, like, I didn't
gone.
Need to do that.
I haven't experienced that before. This is okay, so I really seen dopamine. Impulsivity also causes people with also leads people with ADHD to overeat, especially foods that are unhealthy. It's easier to be impulsive with things that are convenient, and things that are convenient are usually unhealthy. You don't really see anything that's healthy that's convenient.
I mean,
I can't think of anything unless you're
apples.
Gonna eat a head of cabbage.
No, but you would eat like maybe a container of blackberries or raspberries or
yes, I would do
right.
That.
So any So any berries are pretty convenient. Apples, because they're just like you just bite into it. No prep work
Frozen
needed.
mango is pretty yummy. I like eating frozen mangoes.
Great. So I think there are healthy choices, but I also think that in everybody, not just people with ADHD, that the more sugar you eat, the more your body craves sugar.
Yes.
So if you are
It's very
impulsively
hard
eating,
to get out of the cycle.
sugar is very addictive for everybody, right? And if you already have an addictive personality and people with ADHD do, then it makes it a really, really hard cycle. Right. Some of my clients were like, even like, I don't buy food that's unhealthy. Like they'll order their groceries sometimes with somebody, so they don't order things that are unhealthy, and then have the groceries delivered to their house, so they don't have to go into or near the store because they're trying to not buy unhealthy food.
That's fine.
But then,
No.
like for some of them that works,
Okay,
right?
that's good.
But for some of them, they're like, no, and I really have that craving. I'll get in the car and drive to the store to buy potato chips or
I feel that.
whatever the groove it is.
Whatever.
I think part of that is that for anybody, not just people with ADHD, but like if you just cut things out of your diet that you think are unhealthy, if you're not putting in some kind of substitute for it, then you just feel deprived.
Yeah.
Right? And
It's
instead,
like smoking a cigarette. You can't just quit cold turkey. I mean, I don't know. I'm going
people
to assume you
can.
can't. You can.
Some
Can
people
you?
can, but I think the vast majority of people need support and help in doing that, right?
And they don't have sugar patches like they do nicotine patches, unfortunately.
No, but you
So
can
once you
like.
come up with that, I think it would be a multi-million-dollar company if you do. You can take that idea if you want.
I think you need to like start to make replacements. Like, I'm not gonna eat potato chips, but I'll eat sweet potato chips, or I'll eat like plant-based chips, right? Cauliflower chips, whatever. But you have to put in some. You can't just be like, I'm not eating chips ever again. That's
Ever.
just not gonna last, right? All right, what else do you have for me?
We've already talked about that pretty much. Some ADHD drugs can also suppress appetite throughout the day. Like, remember the first medication, or like one of the first medications that I was on when I was first diagnosed with ADHD? Do you remember that? And
The
we had
first drugs.
the Ritz cracker, when we had Ritz crackers in my
Yes.
locker, because it would upset my
Yes.
stomach.
It made you
But
really
then I
sick.
wouldn't eat either. I don't remember which one that was, but as the drugs affect wear off in the evening, appetite increases, which may lead to binge eating. So apparently there's many different causes that can lead to binge eating. I just thought
And
it
for
was
some
kind of
people,
like,
it's just a control issue. It's something that they're in control of. So,
which is
yeah.
what I thought the only thing was, but sensory issues may also explain why some people with ADHD tend to avoid eating certain foods.
100%.
100%, obviously, not just ADHD, but autism too.
Right.
I stay away from fish and eggs, I think, for that very reason. The smell.
Peaches.
Peaches are more of a sensory thing. You just don't really have a smell. The fuzz on the outside, though.
It's the fuzz on the outside, but they
That's
get you every
terrible.
time. Right. So you say.
Why does the fruit need to be fuzzy? What is the fuzz doing for the fruit? Please,
I'm sure it's doing something. I mean, some biologist is going to reply to you now and tell you exactly why.
I want a response. Please tell me what the freaking fuzz is about. Because peaches are delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Watch one of my children in the future love peaches.
They will. And they'll be like all the time, mommy, mommy. And you'll be like,
mommy, here,
have these canned peaches. And they'll be like, no, mom. I want a real
peach. That's disgusting. I want a real peach. And that's what Ian's for. I'll make Ian peel the peach. Or cut the peach or do whatever with the peach.
You can send them to Grammy. I'll give them peaches.
Your Grammy will give you some peaches. I don't, mommy doesn't touch peaches. Sorry, sweetheart. Is it Kushka?
What? So sensitivities, what else?
Sensitivities. Certain textures or smells may cause overload.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, 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 blah. High sugar foods stimulate the release of dopamine.
Mm.
So, like, the cookies that your clients are eating cause a release in dopamine. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Hence the overeating.
Because so does exercise,
though. Yeah, so does exercise.
Yeah, jump on that treadmill instead of grab the box of cookies. I know that's easier said than done. Sorry. Grab a friend and go for a walk. The treadmill's not everybody's friend.
There's also evidence that people with ADHD tend to gravitate toward junk food, especially food that is high in sugar. This may be because high in sugar releases dopamine. Why did it do that twice? Okay. I don't know what it did, but it like duplicated my notes.
Duplicated. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Some primary research suggests that certain foods, so for example, highly processed, addictive, and still preserved, may also change behavior and cognitive development, changing the things in your brain.
Hmm.
Like that yellow five or whatever it is. Red five, yellow five, blue five?
It's red.
Red five. Okay.
Yep.
All of the natural or unnatural dyes. Several studies have shown nutritional. Yeah, I'm having. Sorry, nutritional.
Talk?
No, nutritional deficiencies can affect behavior and cognitive function in people with ADHD. Vitamin D and magnesium, in particular, are important, with research showing they may improve attention and decrease hyperactivity. Vitamin D.
Vitamin D is good.
I didn't know vitamin D did that.
It also keeps away, you know, colds.
I thought that was vitamin C.
Both. You need both.
Both? Or
you could just go out into the sun. That's how most people get their vitamin D. Go outside. Take a walk.
Vitamin D can also affect the way dopamine forms in the brain. I wonder if a pregnant person takes vitamin D daily,
mm-hmm.
will that help her brain or could it also help the baby's brain?
I would think
because the baby takes the nutrients from the mother, right?
Yes.
So that could be a way to prevent ADHD. Am I wrong?
I mean, ADHD is a highly complex.
I think I just figured it out and none of the scientists did. I'm super smart.
Yeah. I don't think that's how it's not only diagnosed through genetics. It's also environmental, right? So there are some people who, like, you have to be in an environment where the epigenetics get turned on for those genes to be expressed, right? So, right, like yours probably got turned on because life was a little chaotic when you were born.
Life was chaotic.
Your sister. Life was chaotic because of your sister. Thanks, Alexis.
Oh, you mean birth? Like the birth part was chaotic, or just being just like inside
your environment, your life? Yeah, like just our life was a little chaotic. Both, but I mean your life after you were born.
After birth, okay. So it develops in babyhood.
It can.
You get popped out as a normal person.
Not necessarily. Right? That's what I'm saying. It's highly complex. The diagnosis of it is highly complex.
Okay.
So you definitely had other things you were dealing with when you were first born, though. Like you wouldn't eat. That was a big deal. We had to deal with that. Right? Like there was just a lot going on for you and for your sister. Right? So, but epigenetics definitely plays a big part in your life and then your children's lives, particularly if you're a woman. You can change like the DNA of your eggs.
Interesting.
Yeah, right. So like if you live, let's say you're like a person who lives in like an abusive home, right? And you're always sort of like walking on eggshells, sort of always on alert, you will not only change your own expression of your own genes to be like on alert and anxious all the time, but you will also change the eggs that you're carrying to be on alert.
Oh, that's not fair. That's sad.
Yeah. Right. So it creates problems because, like, if you're a person who grew up in a famine, your body changes so that you hold on to calories more. But then you've also given that gene expression to your eggs. And then if your child, though, grows up in an environment where there's food is plentiful, that's one of the reasons, and some of the small part, I'm not a doctor, of how some people would develop diabetes, because their genes are holding on to food when they don't need to, because there's plenty of food.
Interesting. Okay.
Genetics
is interesting. This is fascinating.
It is.
It is. No, I'm being serious. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I had that ability.
Your genes are pretty amazing what they can do, but sometimes they screw you.
Yeah, that seems a bit unfair to the baby. It didn't do anything.
No, but the same thing is true. When that baby is born, their own experiences will again affect their own cells, right? So it's not like it can't be righted ever.
Yeah.
It can be through their own experiences, right? So yeah, it's not, you know, total gloom and doom, because you can change. That's what neuroplasticity about. Neuroplasticity is just about that we can change all the time, all the way through our lives. So did you learn anything else about food dopamine?
I have tips.
Okay, cool.
Okay, tips. One tip is shop and plan your meals a week ahead. So like, you know, pick a day. Mm-hmm. Your day, at least when I lived there, was Thursday. Thursday was plan, meal, and shop day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could like make a, if you have the schedule availability, you can make meals with like a friend and put them in the freezer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We were doing that like the one time. And then, I don't know, we just stopped for some reason. We just haven't done that.
Okay.
Our freezer is very empty now. But that's something we can do, or you can do. Planning meals makes it easier to decide what and when to eat and may help you avoid buying or binging on unhealthy processed. And when you come home from your long day of work, all you have to do is pop it in the microwave. You can do
I think
that.
the benefit, I think a lot of people with ADHD don't want to do meal planning because they're like, I don't know what I'm going to be in the mood to eat on Friday.
Yeah, that is true.
Which is fair. And that's how like sometimes food goes to waste is because of that. But I think for if you're going to like meal prep in advance, you just want to make sure that you make a nice variety of kinds of food. Foods, right? So,
Yeah.
like a chicken meal or a pasta meal or like whatever your favorites are, like making three or four different meals. Cause if they're going in the freezer, they're not going to go bad, right? So,
Yeah.
stick them in the freezer. And then when you get home, you go, do I want beef or chicken or pasta? Or, you know, you can look at what you have and then decide, right? It doesn't have to be a, you know, Taco Tuesday night thing, although
If
Taco
you don't,
Tuesday. It's
would be
delicious.
pretty cool. Eat small but nutritious meals throughout the day. So like protein. So you could do like apples and peanut butter with like and yogurt. Those are all, I mean, you have like your watery sugar because apples have sugar in them. And then the protein comes from the peanut butter, and I think yogurt has protein in it,
Depends
right?
on the protein. It depends on the kind of yogurt you're eating, but yeah, it also has like fat in it, and we need fat. Fat's not bad for you.
Oh, fat, that's a good. That's good.
I
Okay.
mean, don't get me wrong. I don't go eat a stick of butter. That's not good for you, but like we need to have some fat in our diet. That's what helps you break down protein. Only protein and no fat, you would get protein poisoning.
I mean, you could also snack on a hard-boiled egg if you're into that. That sounds gross, but if you want to, you can do that. And then the protein will help you stay full.
Yes.
Drinking lots of water. Most Americans don't drink enough water.
50 a liter per every 50 pounds you have on your body.
Yeah, you can.
A
So
lot.
drinking water and having like, a protein filled snack will help you stay full for longer.
It'll also help your brain work
If
better. Like your
you're
brain
not
wants
into like,
protein.
yeah, if you're not into like, or if I guess if you don't either, if you don't have time to eat a full meal, or you're just not a meal person. Some people just like to graze all day. Protein, eat protein,
Protein,
drink
yes.
water.
I would say if you're going to eat like multiple snacks during the day or multiple meals and have smaller meals every so often, every, you know, 2 to 4 hours, that you need some kind of system to help you remember that, right? So you need like alarms and timers don't work for everybody, but if they work for you, great. But sometimes it's just like about having it visible, right? So maybe you just have it out on your work desk if you know that's the meal you're going to eat next. Or I used to have one client, he would have somebody at work physically put their hand in between his face and his computer screen and be like, "Hey, it's time to go eat food." Your brain
That's a
needs to
good
be
coworker.
refueled. It was also good. It was also like his housemate. So,
Oh, okay.
right. This is the same guy who used to take his computer from him at night, so that he would go to bed. So
Aww.
yes, it was a very good friend.
Yes.
Right. But if you have somebody who can like another person, like body doubling is just like the best. For most people, right? But if you just plan on like, oh, I'm gonna eat every 2 hours a little something, or I'm gonna eat every 3 hours a little something, That's like not, that's not going to happen. You need more planning than that. Somebody needs to like actually help you do that, right? You need a more succinct plan.
Okay. Supplements. Supplement. Okay. Supplements, taking supplements, vitamins and minerals. Omega-3 fatty acids are good. Excellent for the brain. Excellent for the heart too. You could do fish oil. You should talk to a doctor first.
Or a
I'm
nutritionist
not a
that can
professional
do
or a nutritionist. I'm not
that, well, a
either.
specific, like an RD, not just a nutritionist, like an RD who can do actual like medical testing to find out what you like, to make it really specific to you.
Need like what you're deficient in or
What you're deficient in, or what sometimes there are different forms of different vitamins because not everybody can absorb the same form, right? So like figuring out what your body best absorbs, but also what your body needs.
could it also tell, like, if for whatever reason, if you have too much of a supplement or vitamin, could that also cause issues?
I'm sure, right? I mean, you can get poisoning from having too much of some vitamins, right? I think from food,
Too
it's
much
pretty
of a good
hard,
thing.
right? Too much of a good thing isn't always good, right? Exactly. So I think it's hard to do it if you're just intaking food, but it's pretty easy to take too much of something if you're taking a supplement, right? Especially
Because
if you're
they
taking a like chewy gummy supplement, because that's like candy, but it's not, because it's a vitamin and you don't want too much of anything.
and they come in like 500 milligram capsules or 1,000 milligram capsules. I think I've even seen 5 million milligram capsules before.
Yeah. But yeah, you want some advice. Don't just
Take
willy-nilly
things
it.
willy-nilly.
That's not good. What else? Anything else? Any other tips you have?
Nope. That's all I could come up with. Do you have any tips for the people?
Would say that food brings people together, and that most of your meals should be eaten in no less than 30 minutes and should be eaten with somebody that you're trying to like connect with or have and any kind of relationship with, right? So at work, it could be a friend. At home, it's obviously going to be like your family. But if you live alone, then like start inviting people over. Maybe sometimes they bring the food, then you don't have to clean up, right? So like, or if you have a group of friends, maybe you each like take a night, right? And then you're doing something social every night, because food is meant to bring people together, to be social time. Like we're supposed to be mindful of that time and not mindlessly eating. That's how boxes of chips, the boxes of cookies and bags of chips disappear, right? When you're eating, what you should be doing is eating and not like eating and surfing the internet or eating and really anything else. You should be like, when you're eating, you should be just eating so that like what you're eating, you're connecting with the people, you can pay attention to how your body feels so that your body can tell you if it's full or if it needs more. Or I don't know, I have one client who just like literally talks to her body out loud and just asks her body, what do you want? What do you want today? What do you feel like eating today? And then she just sort of like listens to her intuition about what she wants to eat or what she needs. Right. So, like, I think so many, we live in such a hurried society that people mm-hmm. think eating is something they can do, like, as they're working at their desk or while they're driving their car to work or like a million other things. And it's not, none of those things are true. You should, when you're eating, you should just be eating. That's my big piece of advice for everybody. Okay. Are you done?
Mm-hmm.
Say goodbye.
Boy.
Thank you for listening. If you wanted to coach with me, see my information at bigbangcoaching.net. If you are interested in emailing us, you can reach us at thendtoolbox@gmail.com. And if you wanted to see our website, please go to theneurodiversetoolbox.podbean.com. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Neurodiverse Toolbox.